Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Tuesday, February 3rd, 2026, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we're on page 17, the second paragraph. We are average Americans, through one paragraph ending, but that in itself would never have held us together as we are now joined. And we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, Julie P., 12 tradition, today's readers, 12 steps is Julie P., 12 traditions, Kathy P., readers of the text, Sherry M., Chanel T., and Alex K. The reference number for Monday, February 2nd, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,176. That's 23176. And for this morning, Tuesday, February 3rd, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 23,180. That's 23180. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Larry G., and Robin P. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I'll now ask Julie P. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. My name is Julie P. I am a food addict slash compulsive overeater from the state of Minnesota, currently in Southern Texas. The 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening, as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to the compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Julie P. And I'll now ask Kathy P. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Hi, Kathy P. from Oregon, grateful member of Overeaters Anonymous. Okay, the traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority in God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. These problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Kathy P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 17, the second paragraph. We are average Americans through one paragraph ending, but that in itself would never have held us together as we are now joined. And we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. And I'd now ask Sherry M. to please read and then share with us. Good morning, Sherry.
Thank you. We are average Americans. All sections of this country and many of its occupations are represented, as well as many political, economic, social, and religious backgrounds. We are people who normally would not mix, but there exists among us a fellowship, a friendliness, and an understanding which is indescribably wonderful. We are like the passengers of a great liner the moment after rescue from shipwreck, when camaraderie, joyousness, and democracy pervade the vessel from steerage to captain's table. Unlike the feelings of the ship's passengers, however, our joy in escape from disaster does not subside as we go our individual ways. The feeling of having shared in a common peril is one element in the powerful cement which binds us. But that in itself would never have held us together as we are now joined. Okay, timer set. Okay. Hi, my name is Sherry M., and I am a grateful, recovered overeater, compulsive overeater, and I'm grateful to be able to share on this paragraph, and thank you, Dawn, for your service. I could take one sentence in this paragraph, and that would be enough, but this is a lot here packed. Today, I am feeling extra weepy and sentimental and grateful because today I do celebrate 22 years of being a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous and free from drug addiction, which I picked up as a result of a compulsive eating disease and trying to manage weight and hunger and all of the other isms. I just feel so grateful that I am here amongst you, and thank you all for saving my life every day. This is the truth. There's people on this line that I just wouldn't have met you if I hadn't been part of this fellowship. I think that's the biggest thing. I could call up a fellow that I don't know very well, and I could share a 10th step with them or something that's weighing on my heart, and a recovered fellow would be nodding their head. And we would be seeking God together in the person who shares the tent, the person who. And we would hang up, and I would feel a closeness with this fellow like I could not feel with anybody else. And why is that? Because I was born with a deadly disease. I have a disease that's trying to kill me on a daily basis, and I have a mind that continually tells me that I do not have the disease. Who else would understand that but you? If you have this disease and your mind works like my mind does, and maybe you've been in and out of relapse in the food like I have, so through that 22 years, you know, I showed up at rehab and I said, I'm here for drugs, alcohol, and food. And they said, and God bless them, they said, we're going to have to deal with the alcohol and the drugs. And that's also because they were not compulsive overeaters, and that's okay. But within 6 months, I gained six sizes and was busting out of a size 16, and I became suicidal, and I wanted to kill myself. And I shared with a fellow in a meeting that I wanted to die 6 months sober, and she sent me over to the rooms of the CEA HEL program, and then I found my way to Overeaters Anonymous and found the message. And I found my people, because the people in the other program were telling me to eat dessert every night, God bless them, because they didn't know that I was dually addicted and that food was even more deadly. It's a slow death. You know, it's like Melissa, she says, it's the bunny rabbit kicking me to death on a daily basis.
Time.
So thank you so much. That's perfect way to end. Can't wait to hear from all of you and have a great meeting.
Thank you so much, Sherry M. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would also like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Alex.
Julie B.
Robin,
Oregon.
Robin.
I heard Alex K., and I heard Robin P.
Julie B., Oregon.
Julie B., Oregon.
Donna B., Colorado.
Donna B., Colorado. Anyone else? All right. That's a lovely lineup there. Let's start with
Alex.
Wendy
M.
Okay. No worries.
Thanks, Don.
Sure. Wendy M., Colorado. All right. Alex K., please go ahead and get us started, followed by Robin P.
Thanks, Dawn. Thanks, everyone, for being here. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, giving a reprieve for today. We come from many backgrounds, all walks of life, and we may be completely different in many ways, most ways. Maybe the only thing we have in common is our disease, but that gives us a bond so strong that our differences don't matter. We're all here because we have the same disease and we know what it's like to struggle with compulsive eating. We understand the pain of that as only compulsive eaters can. One of our strengths is that we're all in this together and together we're stronger. An understanding that's indescribably wonderful. That's so true. There's nothing like it. I can go to any meeting anywhere, call any fellow compulsive eater, and be instantly understood and supported. Even if we've never spoken before, we already know each other. And that's such a special gift that I never had anywhere else. And it's really inspiring to have this fellowship, to know that there are so many of us all over the world on this recovery journey together. I always have a support network, a spiritual team with me. I can't do this alone, and I don't have to. I never have to do anything alone again, and that's so comforting to know. We're all here for the same reason, to get help with our common problem, compulsive eating, and we share the same disease, the same solution, and we're given the solution, and then we get to pass it on to others. I came here so desperate and hopeless. I couldn't see how my life could ever change and get better, and yet it has, and beyond my wildest dreams. This program has saved my life, and it saves my life every day. And now I have a message of hope I can share with others. I can give back a little of what I've been so generously given over the years. I can carry the message to the still suffering compulsive eater. That's part of my purpose. I've been given a purpose, as others did for me. Pass it on, pay it forward. It's a beautiful process, and I'm so grateful to be part of it. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you so much, Alex K. from California. Robin P., it's your turn to share, followed by Julie B.
Thank you so much, Dawn. Hi, I'm Robin P., and I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater currently in Franklin, Tennessee. And, you know, I love how they say in America, because it's all over the world, as it's been shared. And I've traveled a lot in recovery over these most recent 10 years. I'm so grateful for abstinence and recovery today. And wherever I go, because of these amazing vision meetings, I get to be on a meeting. And it's just such a blessing. I also do feel about the fellowship. You know, I always think of this fellowship, you know, that we're on this big boat together. And when I was drowning alone in the water by myself, and with so much fear and so much pride, and just to, how much better it is to be on the fellowship, you know. And, you know, I just think about my pride in asking for help and how important it is that it's such a re-recovery and that, you know, I'm just so grateful. I'm doing this thing, wonderful sponsor. And I'm so great to be honest, open, and willing enough to recover today and to do the next recovery. You know, it's just such a miracle, the whole thing, the 12 steps, the 12 traditions, it all still works after all these years. It's so, to me, it's completely God, the whole thing. You know, I literally... I would be in such a horrible place without this program. I know where I came from. I was a very low bottom bulimic. And today I am such a blessed, healthy, and happy and prosperous person. And I am a blessing to people. And I receive blessings. It's just a miracle. It's not the same life. God bless everybody with a really blessed, abstinent day, and I pass. Thanks again, Dawn, and everyone who makes meaning possible.
Thank you so much, Robin P. from Tennessee. Julie B., it's your turn to share, followed by Donna B.
Hello, thank you. This is Julie B. from Oregon, recovering compulsive overeater and sugar addict. This talk today was obviously picked out just for me, right? So thank you, God, for preparing this for me. I have spent many years of my life working as a deckhand on ships. And I've worked as a mariner from British Columbia all the way down to San Diego. And I'm giving a presentation this week, a public presentation about how mariners get along. I'm specifically whalers, but the premise is in the forecastle of a ship, which is where all the deckhands live, you have someone from Scotland, from England, from Germany, from Portugal. You have Native Americans, you have African Americans, Polynesians, Hawaiians, et cetera, et cetera. They all come to the ship with a different language, a different culture, a different religion, but they have to get along. It's necessary for survival that they get along. And what I've been reading in my research is, historically, is that there was this unspoken rule that when you joined the ship, you left behind your religion, your politics, your home culture, not so much left it behind, but you kept it to yourself, so that you joined the common culture and the common rules and the common ways of doing things. That is how they could get along and survive. And that reading from today just jumped out at me. It's the same thing in OA. We come from such different backgrounds, but we have to get along because this is a dangerous journey and we have to stick together. So it, oh my gosh, it just made me so happy to hear that. And one more thing is my Facebook feed lately has been popping up with a lot of names of people in program. And at first I was just so excited, like, oh, I know who that is. And oh, I know who that is. And like, I want to be Facebook friends with everybody because we can kind of socialize outside of the meetings. But then I started thinking about it. Wait, just pause for a second, Julie. If we all have different political beliefs, different religious beliefs and so on, and I see things on Facebook that bother me, or I post things that bother you, we've lost our anonymity and we've lost our unity. I could see myself being really upset with somebody about a political post, and I'm sure somebody could be upset with me. So I have consciously decided to not Facebook friends with people in program because I want to preserve that anonymity so that we can minimize our differences and focus on our commonalities in order to survive this journey. So thank you very much, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Julie B. from Oregon. Yes, focusing on our commonalities. Beautiful. All right, Donna B., it's your turn to share, followed by Wendy M. Go ahead, Donna.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Donna B., spelled D-A-N-A, calling from Colorado. And that's the direction my mind was going as well as I pulled up the long form of Tradition 1, which I will share. Each member of Alcoholics Anonymous is but a small part of a great whole. AA must continue to live, or most of us will surely die. Hence, our common welfare comes first, but individual welfare follows close afterwards. And this sentence of the feeling of having shared in a common peril is one element in the powerful cement which binds us. The common peril that they're referring to in our case is the peril of having lived with compulsive overeating and or one of its associated perils like exercise bulimia, vomit bulimia, night eating, and so forth. And so this powerful cement which binds us is at first our shared illness, and then we also then find what binds us is our common solution. And all of us have been through lots of other perils. And in today's world, we are witnesses of all kinds of perils. At my last in-person meeting, during our group conscience, we spoke about Tradition 1 and kind of the question of how do we share how current events affect us and potentially impact the choices we make around food, the 10 steps that we write, the 11 steps, the prayers or the meditation for the things that we're witnessing in the world around us without breaking Tradition 1, by focusing on really the common peril of our disease and the common solution of the 12 steps. And I don't have an answer, actually. We didn't come to a solution other than to allow our higher power, of our individual higher powers and the higher power that oversees our group to move us towards this practice of unity in a time in our world where there's a lot of fragmentation. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Donna B. from Colorado. Quick reminder, we're talking about page 17, the second paragraph. We are average Americans through one paragraph ending, but that in itself would never have held us together as we are now joined. And we're commenting on this one paragraph today. Wendy M., it's your turn to share, and then I'll be taking a list of more names.
Yes, good morning, Wendy M., overeater in Boulder, Colorado, recovering. Thank you, Don, for your service and all the shares. You know, differences growing up in my family meant wrong, meant scary, meant they're wrong, we're right. That's what I knew, you know. We were intolerant thinking we were tolerant. And I remember coming into my first meeting, and I think 9/11 just happened, and the first thing I looked at around the room was how we're all different, right? That's what I looked at. That's what it appeared to be. And the minute somebody opened their mouth and shared, I instantly felt a feeling of belonging. And there's nothing like it in the world. I never felt I belonged to anything ever, which is, I'm sure, why I ate as well. But to come into a room and people open their mouths and all of our differences just melted away. You know, I've been craving unity, craving belonging my whole life. And I get to walk into a room and there's an understanding, a validation of my experience in my world. There was nothing like it in the world, you know. And this notion of our and we and unity is so opposite of the prejudice that I had before I came in. You know, and here's the deal. Like, I have friends and they send me their prayers, and sometimes they have different religions in their prayers, right? Guess what? We don't focus on our differences. We never have to. It's a common solution, common peril, you know, and that's what binds us. And even I take that tradition out into the world. I don't need to know how you vote. I don't need to know how you pray. All I know is I love you and you love me. You see, God puts that in my heart. God says, Wendy, we don't need to look at the prejudices, the differences today. We get to love. What is my assignment today? To love, to be of service, that my dark past can be my greatest asset today. The very thing I'm so ashamed of, my secrets about food, I get to share that with somebody today, right? That's love. God is love and love is God. So I ask myself, how would love have me be today? What is it that love needs me to, and love is, we melt away the differences and we only see the common in everybody, all of us, no matter outside or inside this program. And I'll just say that I'm going to a Super Bowl party and it's all addicts. You know, and we just get to smile and we don't have to even tell our story. We just know. God puts that in our heart to love each other, no matter how you vote, no matter how you pray. And I grew up in a family that all that stuff mattered. We were different, don't you know, and we were right and you were wrong. And today it doesn't even matter. We're just here to heal, here to love. Be on assignment from God. God, love, what is your assignment today? Love, how would you have me be? With that, I pass. Thank you.
Ah, thank you so much, Wendy B. from Colorado. All right. Well, we're talking about page 17, the second paragraph. We are average Americans through one paragraph ending, but that in itself would never have held us together as we are now joined. And I'm going to take a list of names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. And just a quick reminder, we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing. And singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. All right. Although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us today?
Kathy F.
Was that Cassie S?
Yes.
Okay. Cassie S. And who else would like to share?
Dana P.
Dana P.
Sandy K.
Sandy K.
Julie P.
Julie P. Anyone else? All right. Got Cassie S., Dana P., Sandy K., and Julie P. Beautiful lineup. Cassie S., please share with us and please let us know where you're calling from.
Yes, hi, I'm Cassie S. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Germany. And I'm so grateful for all the shares. Really nice. And I'm so grateful to be recovered today and so grateful yeah, to have so many people who I can call, you know, and it's really so. I mean, in the normal world, who would you call? Who do you not know? And just talk about really personal stuff immediately. You know, it's so. You would never do this to a stranger. You know, so you get to know people slowly, and then you get comfortable with them. And in program, I can do an outreach call to a stranger, and you know, we had something in common. I can talk about everything, and this is such a gift. And also, you know, the experience. I mean, when you are recovered, I mean, before you recover, it's amazing to have people who understand that, they just understand, you know. And when you get recovered, I mean, it's not that everything is sunshine and. I mean, I'm happy and I'm grateful, but there are, of course, life goes on and you get to face problems, and I can call someone and talk about it. And also when I change, I mean, also relationship changes, and sometimes it's also like not easy, and it's so wonderful that I have people who just understand what it means. And to help me get out of my own head again, you know, when I'm really like, I don't know, thinking maybe bad about myself or whatever. And I'm very, very grateful to have this fellowship, that I'm recovered, that I'm abstinent. And yes, thank you so much. And I'll pass.
And thank you, Cassie S. from Germany. Thank you so much for sharing with us. Dana P., it's your turn to share, followed by Sandy K.
Good morning, Dawn. Good morning. This is Dana P. in California. Good morning to all my friends and fellows here on the line. It's been a little while since I shared, so I'm really grateful to get in on this paragraph, and here we are in the chapter about the solution, right? So not only do we have a common problem, if you will, a common peril, but we, more importantly, we have a common solution. And I looked up the word average. Well, one would think everybody knows what an average is, and probably we do. But I love what it says here, constituting the result obtained by adding together several quantities, or we could say qualities, and then divide that number by the total number of qualities. And what that means to me, it's a leveling. You know, it brings us all down to the same level. There's no hierarchy. It's one of the things that I share with my sponsees right out the gate. You know, there is no hierarchy. It's like, I am not above or below. We're all the same. You know, just like it talks about on the ship's passengers. And really, the share from the mariner about that. You know, it doesn't matter who we are or where we come from, but we're all on the same level. And ultimately, it's all about the solution, right? The common peril is important, but it's the common solution. Also love, you know, I'm cross-talking a bit here, but love, that word love. You know, what is the opposite of love? It's not hate, it's fear. And what does our book say? You know, somehow fear underlines everything. Every problem that we have is underlined by fear. And so turn to love, and we have a way of doing that. It's one thing to say, you know, turn to love, be light, all of that. But, you know, if you don't know how to do it, you're going to be stuck in fear. I know I was stuck in fear because I didn't know how to do it. And through the process of working these steps with a fellowship, and then doing service, that is the solution that I have personally found, and I've talked to lots of people that find the same solution for whatever problem avails them. So I'm going to pass with that. Thank you, everybody, and have a great day.
Thank you so much, Dana P. from California. Sandy K., it's your turn to share, followed by Julie P.
Good morning, and thank you for your service. This is Sandy K. from Florida. Compulsive recovered overeater. This is really a great meeting. I know people say that a lot, but I guess this really struck me today. So one of the things I was thinking about as everyone was talking, there's a few things, but one of them was when I would go to a networking meeting, a business meeting, one of the first things, you know, in the first 2 minutes is, well, what do you do for a living? And you want to know because you want to do business with them or see if they're that the right person. But in OA, I really have no idea what anybody does for a living. And for the first 25 years in my recovery, I really didn't want to know because it was really difficult for me to separate that from them being an addict and my past. But being in program much longer now, I don't really care what you do for a living. We're the same. As somebody said, we're in the same ship that's sinking. And right now I'm going through a tough transition. And I can call somebody and say, this is what's going on with me. I really don't want to eat. I can't do that with someone who's not in fellowship. I think I'm crazy. So I love that. I can call anyone. Does it make any difference what religion they are, what they do or did for a living, what country they're from, what kind of accent they have, if they're tall or short. It doesn't make any difference. We are all on the same sinking ship. And the people that are next to me, they're the ones in the lifeboats that are reaching out their hand and saying, here, take my hand. Let me save you. Let me help you. I think that's really all I wanted to say. Just I'm very grateful. Oh, there was one other thing. Sorry. Once in a while, I'll get a newcomer, and they'll ask me to sponsor them. And there are, it doesn't happen often, but once in a while, they'll say they want the same religion as they are. And if I'm not, they want to find somebody else. I've never heard that with anybody who's been in program for a long time. So I guess that's just one of the things that we learn. It has nothing to do with religion. It has to do with the compulsive overeating or the eating addiction.
Time.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Sandy K. from Florida. Julie P., it's your turn to share, and then I'll take a couple more names. Go ahead.
Thank you
Go ahead,
for sharing my name. My name is Julie P. from the state of Minnesota, currently in Texas. You know, I wasn't going to share, but then my higher power said, you need to get on the line and you need to say thank you. So I am saying thank you to all of you out there. You know who you are, who are on my speed dial, my God squad. Thank you for saving my life on a daily basis. You know, I was just sitting here, I'm going into year 5, and I'm thinking about all of the people. I have only met one OA person in person in the last 4+ years, and the rest of you have all been via Zoom, telephone, it doesn't matter. But the heart language is what is spoken, and I crave those relationships now, because you accept me for who I am, you love me for who I am, you've loved me before I could love myself. And for that, I'm grateful. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Julie P. from Minnesota. Yeah. All right. Well, I am now going to take a list of names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. We're talking about page 17, that second paragraph. We are average Americans through one paragraph ending, but that in itself would never have held us together as we are now joined. And I will take a list of names. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share?
Margaret O.
W.
I heard Margaret O. And who is that other voice?
Kathleen W.
Kathleen W. And I'll take one more name.
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Okay, Margaret O., please share with us. Let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning, Dawn. Thanks for your service, and good morning to everybody. Margaret O., calling from, well, I live in Connecticut, but I'm thankfully, gratefully in Southern California. So thanks to everybody doing service for this meeting, and welcome to the newcomers. I wasn't going to share either, but I thought, you know, I haven't been on this meeting as much because I'm on Pacific time and it's hard to get up early. I like this last sentence, you know, the last two, the feeling of having shared in a common one element in the powerful cement which binds us. So our past, my past, experience, you know, no matter how far down the scale we have gone, we learn that our experience can, you know, be useful to others. And really that that is a gift. And I heard it said recently that this program is, yes, it's about working the steps, but it's about working the steps with others. Like that's like the graduate, you know, plan. And when I can share my experience, my past experience, and then my strength and hope, you know, it may be a lifeline for someone who had the same dilemma as my disease manifested in bulimia and restricting. And then the last sentence, but that in itself would never have held us together as we are now joined. And, you know, I rely on this program now more than ever. I've only been in Vision for about 2.5 years. I've been in OA since 1998. But by the grace of God, He is just revealing more to me in terms of resources and WhatsApp groups and different kinds of meetings, you know, Compassionate Recovery and Big Book Awakening and all these incredible resources that are available for healing and for growing and for me to get connected up with people. That's my leading edge, where the isolation has been such a default, as well as the compulsive food behaviors. To kind of fill that hole, but this is a program of healing and of love and of service, so I'm just grateful to be a part of it and stay in the middle of the herd, Margaret. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Margaret O. Kathleen W., it's your turn to share, followed by Jordan L.
Good morning, OA family. Kathleen W. from Illinois, Chicago area. I have been listening to this meeting. I haven't been to an OA meeting for a little while. I've started up in another 12-step program that I've kind of been focusing on, but I do come in and want to continue. And so this has really inspired me, this reading. I come from a place of isolation, as all of us have. And, you know, sorrow, unhappiness, isolation, desperation, those things are what brought us together, you know, the grief over our life. But that is not what keeps us together. It's the sharing of the life, of the steps, you know. And I love that it's a powerful cement that binds us, you know. The life of that our higher power gives us, that's what keeps us coming and coming together. As well as the traditions and the fact that, you know, about the, we don't, doesn't, I loved hearing, it doesn't matter how you vote. It doesn't matter who your God is, how you pray. What matters is the love that we want to give and share between us. And, I just, I've had sponsors that are the Jewish sponsors. I've had mystical sponsors, Christian sponsors. None of that ever mattered. None of that ever mattered. I got life and health from all of them. They extended their hand, and we had a commonality that superseded all of that other stuff. And I'm so grateful for that. It is such a gift. So many are out there so stuck in, you know, dogma and politics, and I don't have to be stuck in that place. You know, I can learn to love. I can continue to love and make that the connection that I have with others. And you know what? I can't do that on my own. I need this fellowship. I need all the fellowships I'm in. I cannot do it on my own. I never could. I never will. And I'm so grateful that I have found this fellowship. So it's so difficult for me to ask for help. But, you know, God has helped me to learn how to reach out as best I can and be grateful for that. And so with that, I'll pass. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, Kathleen W. from Illinois. Jordan L., it's your turn to share.
Hey, good morning, Don. Thanks for moderating for us this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. I really appreciate all the shares this morning. I think isolation is, and it's really debilitating, and it goes hand in hand with this disease of compulsive overeating. I think about my own food history, and I'm not really sure which came first, whether it was the isolation or the compulsive overeating, but it really traps you. It trapped me in a cycle of eating more, wanting to isolate more, which led to more eating, which led to more isolating. So that when I came in here, I mean, I just didn't have anything other than the food, you know. I get up, I get out of bed, I go to work, I come home and I'd eat. And that was my whole life. Like, that was my complete reality when I walked in here, when I walked back in 2017. But what I wanted to say about the reading, about the passengers of this great liner, it's interesting. I watched Titanic the other day, so I was thinking about that. And they weren't, like, no one, when the ship was sinking, no one was concerned about, like, first class or who was in the working class or who was in the labor class or any of that stuff. All of that stuff completely and totally fell away. And it was just about, like, survival. And then for those that did survive, when they got back to shore, it was like, again, like, you're not thinking about any of those worldly clamors at all. You're just thinking about the gratitude of, like, being alive, of being able to take another breath, you know? and that's something that probably gets lost in, like, the way that we live our daily lives today. And so it's just so wonderful to have this place, Overeaters Anonymous, where I can come back over and over and over again and get a reminder of what that is, to, like, really be alive, you know, and to really be present and engage with my own life and the lives of the people that are around me. I'm just not sure that there's that many places in the world, this world of ours today, that exists. So thanks for letting me share. That's it.
Thank you so much, Jordan L. from Colorado. And we'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Chanel T. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, thank you so much, Dawn, for your faithful service. This is Chanel T. in Washington State, grateful and recovered today by the grace of God. Page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until